Good morning. It's the 16th of October. Our New Testament reading today is John chapter 8. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis, A Life of Jesus. I read. Jesus stood up in the temple and proclaimed himself the light of the world. The claim was immediately repudiated by the Pharisees, and a verbal battle ensued, which resulted in many of the people and even some of the rulers believing on him. But in most of them, it was a superficial faith which failed to stand the test to which it was now exposed. The Jews resorted to the familiar claim that they were the children of Abraham. This would not do, Jesus observed, since, unlike them, Abraham had rejoiced to see his day. Thou art not yet 50 years old, they cried, and hast thou seen Abraham? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This dramatic assertion was altogether too much for them. Deeds, not words, could be the only answer to this apparent blasphemy. They took up stones, but Jesus moved away into a crowd that was not altogether hostile, and left the temple. A thought of surpassing loveliness is often lost by the artificial break between the 8th and 9th chapters of John. If we link the two verses, it immediately becomes apparent. Following the dispute in the temple, the Jews took up stones to cast at Jesus. He went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as he passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Escaping from men intent upon his hurt, Jesus found the need of a man, a barrier he could not pass. Here is an epitome of his life. From the beginning of his ministry, this persecution had gone on, intensifying with the passing months until it reached its terrible climax. But it never interrupted his gentle ministration of love, or dulled his ear to the cry of a man. His enemies did not succeed in diverting him from his purpose, and, by a sublime paradox, when at last they nailed him to the cross, he achieved his greatest victory in satisfying man's deepest need. The blind man was probably begging in the precincts of the temple. The knowledge that he was born blind indicates that he was a familiar sight there and his history well known. The disciples, puzzled by the general belief in the close relationship between sin and suffering, asked Jesus whether this man had sinned or his parents. The Jews persisted in believing in this connection, in spite of the lesson of the book of Job. They took it to illogical lengths, so that when they found a man afflicted from birth, they were driven to the point of proclaiming it to be the result of prenatal sin. That there is an affinity between sin and suffering, and sometimes a direct connection, Jesus did not deny. But to assume that connection in every case by a cruel scrutiny of the secret life of a sufferer was false in principle and morally wrong. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus refrained from discussing the subject, confining his attention to this man's need and his power to help. God's purpose was that his works should be manifested in this blind beggar, and that by his natural and spiritual sight he would be a witness to the light of the world. As the shadows of this day were lengthening, so the day of his own earthly life was drawing to its close, and with it would go those opportunities of loving service. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. No more fitting work could be found for the light of the world than the opening of the eyes of the blind. Thank you for listening.